Hey, this is Todd Stacey. Welcome to In the Weeds with Alabama Daily News. This week, we're talking with Tommy Tuberville, the former Auburn head football coach who has thrown his name in the hat for the U.S. Senate. Before we get to that, let's just quickly go over the state of play that we have in the Senate race right now, because a lot has happened in the last 10 days or so. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth is officially not going to pursue the seat. Neither will Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh. Ainsworth cited being able to spend more time at home with his family in Alabama and also focusing on his new job as Lieutenant Governor as his main reasons for staying out. That makes a lot of sense. The Senate job, when you're in the U.S. Senate, you might as well just live in Washington. It's not very conducive to folks actually living in their home states because the weeks are so long. Due to the fact that he does have young children, I can definitely understand not wanting to move them to D.C. And also not wanting to be away from them all the time as a senator. Del Marsh said that the partisan nature of the U.S. Senate had really, you know, made it lose the appeal it had in recent weeks and months, and that he really enjoys getting things done in the state Senate. He basically told reporters that, you know, they don't get anything done in the U.S. Senate. He likes getting things done in his job running the state Senate. Both Marsh and Ainsworth had done some pretty extensive polling on the race just to gauge, you know, how feasible it was. I've talked to folks who have knowledge of those numbers who said, you know, it probably wasn't in the cards for Marsh, at least not without a significant ad campaign to raise his name ID. Dell actually polls pretty well in the Birmingham media market, which is the biggest and most important. And that's probably from all those ads he ran throughout the market in the last election. But he'd have a lot of work to do in the other markets, Huntsville, Mobile, Montgomery, Dothan. Ainsworth polls pretty strongly statewide. That's, you know, residual carryover from his statewide race in 2018, where he ran a lot of ads. He also got a lot of earned media for the Tiger Boat Gambit. However, on the Ainsworth side, the entrance of Tuberville gave him competition in the outsider lane. Also not running, sort of officially, is Congressman Mo Brooks. Brooks told a group of constituents up in Decatur that it would take a, quote, seismic event to get him to enter the race at this point. And I interpret that to mean either Mitch McConnell or Donald Trump or both calling him up and asking him to run. But that is just, you know, how can I put this? That is unlikely to happen. So I would consider him out at this point. In any case, those are three potentially prominent candidates that are no longer part of this conversation, unless something changes. That leaves Congressman Bradley Byrne, who announced in February, and Tuberville, who announced last week, as the only two announced candidates. On the Byrne side, maybe it was by coincidence or maybe not, he actually spent this past week campaigning in Lee County, which is the backyard of Tuberville, and Etowah County, which is the backyard of Marsh, Del Marsh. That's interesting. And one of Byrne's advantages, he's got a lot of good fundraising right now. He's got a healthy amount of cash. But one of his advantages is he has an established network of staff and volunteers situated throughout the state. A lot of that goes back to his 2010 run for governor. You know, he had an extensive staff. He had a lot of, you know, you call them like county captains or whatever that sort of represent you in this county. And those are the folks that will organize, you know, get-togethers, meet and greets, sometimes fundraisers, organize or arrange for you to speak to the local chamber of commerce or what have you. And that's not nothing. It's significant. And that's an advantage for Byrne. No other candidate really has that statewide network. Another update, the Washington D.C. group Club for Growth is still searching for a candidate to compete with Byrne. They really don't like Byrne. Club for Growth is a ostensibly conservative group, though I would kind of argue some of their stances and how consistent they are. But they want, many times they want Tea Party, Freedom Caucus type candidates to run. Byrne is not that. He's a more mainstream Republican, so they certainly don't like him. They're trying to find somebody to challenge him. They struck out with Ainsworth, Mo Brooks, and Gary Palmer, and maybe some others. They were not successful at convincing those people to run. So now the club is moving on to Alabama Secretary of State John Merrill. Sources familiar with that situation tell me that Merrill is being vetted and interviewed by folks from the club. Now look, John Merrill, he's run statewide twice now. No one pounds the pavement harder than John Merrill. He visits every county every year. I mean, just take a look at his Twitter or Facebook. I mean, he literally goes out and meets everybody possible. I really don't know how he gets it done. So just that alone, just his work ethic and drive make him a serious candidate in this race. There's a lot more to a Senate race. Obviously, you got to raise money. Federal fundraising is a lot different, a lot harder, actually, than a statewide race. So nobody knows if he can raise money. I'm sure that's one of the things that the Club for Growth is looking at. Plus, back in the 2014 race, there was some, personal baggage that kind of came out. It wasn't a huge story back then because he's running for Secretary of State. There were a lot of other races going on. But in a Senate race, it could really become a lot more prominent and a lot more public. And that could be, a factor of his candidacy. In any case, that's significant that the Club for Growth is still looking for a candidate and now looking at John Merrill, who's, a pretty talented politician. And, of course, the elephant in the room is Roy Moore. Many people expect him to enter the race very soon. What does soon mean? I'm thinking maybe by this summer. Roy Moore, in most of the polls that you see, Roy Moore still commands about 20% of the support of the Republican electorate, give or take a few points, depending on the poll. And that's the kind of number that would just dare a guy like Roy Moore to jump in this thing, despite what happened last time. But back to Tuberville. So I found Coach Tuberville's entrance into this race interesting for a few reasons. For one, he seems to be taking it seriously. This is not a fun, just experiment. At least it doesn't look like it. He's taking it seriously, and he's being taken seriously as a candidate by media. He's done a ton of interview, a ton of media appearances and over the last 10 days and done a really good job. I pay attention to this stuff, and he's done really well. The second reason is he's really fitting into the outsider lane probably more naturally than I thought he could. So that's interesting. And for the crowd that just really doesn't want anyone who is just even close to being a part of the current political establishment, a former coach who communicates well could be an attractive choice. I really enjoyed interviewing Coach Tuberville. Full disclosure, I was at Auburn for really the height of the Tuberville era at Auburn, and I have a lot of fond memories of games from that time. I also have some bad memories of some, pretty bad games for what that's worth. But we talked about why he decided to get in the race, what issues he really wants to press, how he plans on catching up to the more experienced candidates on policy. And we talked a little bit of football. He also said that we'll talk more football as the race goes on. Maybe in football season we can do something else where it's a little less political and catching up on fun stories and things like that. Tuberville strikes me as a person who's sincere and he's interested. Who knows where his candidacy will go, but for now, he's brought some real intrigue to this race. And that's enough to be interesting, and I appreciated him giving me some time to interview him and go into the weeds about where this race is going and why he's running. So here's our interview. I hope you enjoy it.
Hey, Coach.
Good morning.
It is early. Well, thanks for allowing me a couple minutes to interview you. Saw you on TV this morning and been doing some media appearances.
Yeah, it's been an early morning. Got up at 3 o'clock, put a coat and tie on. I've been on Fox and Friends before, but not this early in the morning, but it went good. And now I'm making the rounds in Montgomery.
Is that kind of like recruiting season hours or something? Is that a...
Yeah. Really, that's a little early for anything, getting up at 3 in the morning, but it's... You know, it's a lot of fun. You know, I've always kind of, looked forward to working with the media. I was media friendly, you know, in all my coaching years, of even when I was assistant. And I learned most of that from Jimmy Johnson, you know, coach that I worked for at Miami for a few years. And then he went on to have a success in NFL to the Dallas Cowboys. So, I always learned, treat everybody the same, but always get the most out of what you're doing with people, you know, explain your situation, how you want to be portrayed. And most people, you know, just carrying on the conversation, you know, people find out a lot about you.
Well, how's the reception been? Has it been 10 days? Or?
Yeah, it's been about a week and a half, since I announced. Now,
right.
Now, the timeline of this whole thing, when I retired from coaching a couple of years ago, you know, I've always liked politics, and I get up in the morning, you know, even when I was coaching, and watch the news, and I guess one of the few coaches that watched C-SPAN over the years, you know, just involved. I'm a patriot. I love this country, and I've always thought that, you know, that politics was a lot like coaching. You know, there's always two sides. There's usually two teams, or maybe sometimes in politics there's more than two teams. And I like competing. I like to try to win. I like to build things. And so when I looked at the governor's race and Kay Ivey moved in, I said, that's something I think she'll do a good job at. And then I put my eye on the Senate race. And, of course, I thought about running for Senate in the election that came in an emergency situation. And I didn't have time to prepare my plan for that, it was a short period of time. And we lost that, being a conservative Republican, we lost that race to a Democrat. And ever since he won, you know, I've been looking at it, talking to people across the state, thinking about it, and came to the conclusion a few weeks ago, hey, this is what I want to do. I think I can help. And the reason I'm doing this is, I've taken so much, over the last 40 years of having a good living, really enjoying myself. Probably a situation where I got more out of it maybe than other people did. And I kind of felt like that way because I really enjoyed the coaching part. Now I want to give back. I want to help and do public service. I was never in the military, but I grew up in a military family. My dad was joined the Army at age 16. He lied about his age. And year and a half later, he was landing on Omaha Beach in Normandy, driving a tank. He got 5 Bronze Stars and Purple Heart. And then when he got out, he stayed in the military. And so I kind of grew up in a military family. When I was 21, he died on a training mission in the military at age 53. And he had a heart attack. And so, I've always loved the military. And being a military person's son, you kind of see the ins and outs from behind the scenes. And so I think that made me become more of a patriot for what he did. And because of that, I've had a chance to travel and see a lot of things, through the coaching eyes of through our military overseas. I've traveled over there twice, to Iraq, Afghanistan, Africa. And again, I got a lot of things out of it. But now I want to do something and give back. I think I've got a lot to give in terms of being a U.S. senator, for Alabama. I love this state, and I want to help Alabama, but I also want to help the country. And so being a senator gives you that opportunity to help a lot of people. And so basically give back. It's going to be a lot of hard work. I understand that. I retired at a young age. I got a lot left in the tank, so I'm looking forward to it.
You described kind of looking at the Senate race last time, looking at it this time. What puts you over the hump? Because you're in pretty early. There's only one other announced candidate.
Yeah. Well, I got in early, but I knew what I wanted to do. I really thought and prayed about it. Is this the direction I want to go? I've had people call about getting back into coaching. But I think this really is going, I think I can help more people doing this. And again, people say, well, you'll be one of 100 people. I mean, how can you make a difference being a rookie senator? And when I walk on the floor for the first time, people are going to know who I am, you know, just by what I've done. I've had a job for 40 years. I hadn't been sitting behind a desk. I've been out in public life, and you have to put your character on the line, you know, being a coach. You have to you show your hand, so to speak, of how you handle people. And, you know, that part's fun, but it's just, again, something that I feel, if I didn't feel like I was really qualified to do this, I wouldn't do it. This is not an ego thing for me. I'm not a career politician. I don't want to be a career politician. I want to help the people of this country, especially in the state of Alabama. There's going to be a lot of growth. There's going to be a lot of things that's going to happen in the South, especially in Alabama, because of things that we have in this state. We've got all kind of minerals. We have, obviously, you know, our number one thing is farming. We have trees. We have mountains. We have beaches. We have ports. You know, we've got all things to sell, and there's going to be an influx of people moving out of the high-tax states, moving down to the South, and we're going to get our share of them, but we've got to grow. We've got to grow with our infrastructure. We've got to bring in new jobs, which we will. There's a lot of people that want jobs in this state. I think one of my big deals about running for U.S. Senate is education. I know a lot about it. There's nobody knows more about education in this country than coaches, especially college coaches, because you go in and you recruit, you see the schools, you see how they're run. We're lacking in education. You know, we're 37th in the world in education in this country, and we spend a lot more than anybody else. So we can get a lot more out of education, and that's what's going to happen. We're going to have to turn things with our young kids coming up. We're going to have to change education to some point, because I don't think our kids are coming out totally prepared for jobs that's going to be available. You can't go to college and get some of these degrees and get out and look around. You spend $200,000 and you're not prepared to do a job. And so I want to get really involved in the education process in Alabama and in this country. I think I've got a lot to give on that. So, I'm enthusiastic about it. Can I make a lot of changes? I think I can. I think I can be a difference in some of these things. And again, I want to help the people in this state because they've given so much to me.
What comes to mind, one of the first things that came to mind was Tom Osborne. You know, he was legendary coach out at Nebraska, went on to be, he must have served 5 or 6 terms in the House, but very well respected member of Congress. Do you know Coach Osborne?
Yes, I've coached against him. Matter of fact, I've seen him several times. Now he's not in politics anymore, but when he first got in, I talked to him about it, and you know he said the same thing I just told you. He said, "Coach, I just want to make a difference, you know, because I know how to deal with people." And so some of the things that Dr. Osborne, as we call him now,
oh, is that right?
Yeah, Dr. Tom Osborne, being coach too. He's a guy that as I said earlier, he's a guy that he wanted to give back to, and he made a difference. I mean, he loved the state. And, you know, he was a coach there for a long, long time. And then he's off to Washington. And he says that sometimes you get frustrated because you're used to getting things done a lot quicker. But you can make a difference.
Well, that kind of sounds like businessmen. They say the same thing. You know, the CEO, I guess a coach is a lot like a CEO. When
same
you want
thing.
It done, it gets done. But, yeah, when you've got to negotiate, when you've got to go to committee or whatever it is, the process, that can be frustrating. Does that worry you at all?
Yeah, but, you know, it's like having a plan. You know, when you take over as a head football coach, you got to have a 5 or 6 year plan. I mean, you're not going to change things overnight. And not one of the schools that I coached, that I took over, was running on all four cylinders. I mean, we had to go in, we had to start a plan. Then you have to recruit and hire people for that plan. You know, I had over 100 employees, you know, working for me at each one of these schools. I mean, it's not like you got seven or eight people. I mean, you got people in all kind of areas that you have to hire, train, get them on the right track. You're gonna make some mistakes, then you gotta learn from your mistakes. I mean, you can't be afraid to let somebody go. I mean, you're responsible for a lot of things. And so the things I learned from the coaches I worked with when I was first growing up in the business, I took a little bit from each one of them. Jimmy Johnson, Dennis Erickson, R.C. Slocum. These were guys that were veteran coaches. And you're not going to put your philosophy like them, but you're going to take some good things that you felt like it worked. I built my own philosophy as a head football coach. I'll do the same thing as a politician. Again, everything moves at a snail's pace, but it does too when, you know, you're coaching. And again, like I said, you want to get to that fourth or fifth year knowing that you're making progress. And same thing in politics. I mean, you're not going to win every battle. In college and in coaching, you're not going to win every game. But you got to have perseverance. That's one thing I like about President Trump. President Trump is one of those, he's a business guy. You can tell doesn't have a lot of patience in a lot of things, but he's got great work ethic and he's doing it for the right reason. He loves the country, and that's the reason I voted for him. I backed him from day one. And he loves the country, he's a patriot. He doesn't need anybody's money, he's got his own. And he goes in and says, this is my plan, I'm gonna stick with it. A lot of people, you know, in the back, you know, you kind of hear, you know, the pundits on news say, you know, he's fired this guy, he's fired that guy. That's what you have to do. When you first get in, you're not going to make 100% perfect picks in the people that you hire for your agenda. We couldn't do it in coaching. You're not going to do it being president of the United States. I won't do it when I'm elected senator. You got to have 10 or 15 people around you that you believe in. And so you've got to be willing to make the tough decisions, and he's done that, and he's stuck with it. And my goodness, as a coach, you know, as somebody asked me, are you going to be able to handle the ridicule you're going to get from the media? I said, I dealt with Paul Feinbaum for 15 years. I mean, if you can do that, you can handle anything. But I can do that. Nobody has thick enough skin where you don't hear that, but you just got to, you know, put it out of the way, and you got to stick with what you believe in. And if you do that, you can have success. But I can't imagine what President Trump's gone through. You know, not everybody, but he's had people come from all sides and still has had success, huge success in what he's doing. You can just imagine if he has more people on his side, what he could do.
You just went through many advantages that you have as far as being an outsider, don't have a record as a politician. Every congressman has bad votes or something they said. At the same time, most congressmen or other potential candidates have spent a lot more time in the policy realm, you know, than you have. How do you catch up? How do you play catch up on some of those? You went through education, some of these other policy areas where some of them may have more experience than you.
Well, it's like anything else. You've got to learn, and you've got to start somewhere. But the big thing about this business is about being able to sell yourself first. Coaching is the same way. I mean, if you go to Congress, you got to sell yourself to other people. They got to trust and believe in what you're doing. It's not really all about just the policy. You know, they want to know, hey, can they trust you? You know, it's like recruiting. Can a parent trust you that you're going to do what's best for their kid when you take them in under your arm for 4 years? I mean, and you go to Congress, you got to build a relationship with the other people around you that you'll work at it. You might not know everything that you need to know, but you're going to do it very quickly. You're going to study it. That's the same thing in anything. I mean, it's all about sales. And so there'll be some things I'll know a lot more about than other people. Talking about education, I grew up in a farming area. I know some of my best friends are farmers. You know, we're here today at the talking to a lot of farmers here in the state. So I feel very confident that I can do the job, but you got to understand your limitations and you got to listen. You know, the biggest thing about politicians is you got to listen before you talk, listen to people's needs. And that's what I plan on doing.
Doug Jones, What's your, you mentioned when he won the election, you immediately started thinking about running for Senate. What are your biggest problems with him, with what he's done over the last couple of years?
You know, I don't know him as a person. Might be a great guy. Probably is. He's from the state of Alabama. When you're elected in politics, you're there to represent the people that put you there. And I just wanted to see what his first couple of votes were, you know, when he got there. You gotta have an open mind. You might go there, and all of a sudden, you know, he's voting how the people of Alabama want him to vote. His first vote was to vote for Chuck Schumer as minority leader of the Senate. Chuck Schumer's not a fan and not going to do anything for people in Alabama. He's not, his agenda doesn't even come close to what people in this state believe in. And then the next vote was Supreme Court, Kavanaugh. Mm-hmm. And that was a very close vote. And I haven't done a poll, but I've heard a lot of people talk about it as going around the state. Most people that I've talked to wanted Brett Kavanaugh confirmed. Well, he voted against him. That showed me right there that Doug Jones was going to vote party line. He wasn't going to vote for the people of Alabama. He was going to vote party line. And that's not what we need in this country. We need people to speak for their constituents, speak for the people that they represent. And he didn't do that in the first two votes.
I wanted to ask a little bit about your coaching experience. Every politician has to go through trials and tribulations. You mentioned media criticism and things like that. And I was trying to think of a time in your career when it was challenging. And it happened to be when I was in school. And it was when, you know, folks got on a plane and went to Louisville. And what was interesting to me about that entire episode was how you turned a very challenging situation to your advantage. Suddenly, those who maybe thought they had an advantage over you were on the outs, and you kind of flipped the script. How did you walk through that? How did you go about that? And was that a instance of you being a politician? Was that playing politics a little bit?
Yeah, well, some people have said, Coach, you've never been in politics. Oh, yeah, I've been in politics all my life.
That was like a political game there.
Yeah, okay. For, I guess, 21 or 22 years I was head coach. You got a lot of hats to wear. I mean, and about 90% of it isn't coaching and calling plays. You know, it's more the outside ventures that you have to deal with, and which I knew that. I knew that getting in. You've got to make tough decisions, but you also got to lean on a lot of people. Now, situation at Auburn, I knew. I mean, it's a very political school, always has been, always will be. Alabama's the same way. Any place that you've had success and it's high profile, then you're going to have opportunities where sometimes you got to fight through it. And, you know, did it surprise me? A little bit of how it was handled, but it didn't surprise me that, you know, from behind the scenes, you know, you might have to fight those battles. And so that was a tough battle. And who you really worry about more is your coaches, their families, and your family, because they've got to go. They have no way to control it or handle it. They're either in or out. But they hear all the criticisms and all that. And it was a tough week. You know, we thought we were all gone. And it just wasn't handled the right way, unfortunately. But if you look back on it, if it had been handled the right way, I would have not made it through that year at Auburn. So there's always good and bad when you look at that. It, you know, a lot of those people that were involved in that situation are friends of mine. You know, I never hold grudges in that business, because what goes around comes around. So, short period of time, I made sure that we talked, that we worked out our grievances, which you have to do, you know, in politics. You have to understand each other. You want to find out where they're coming from. You give your opinion, shake hands, you go back to trying to win games again. You can't go into a hole. And if you do that, I mean, you won't last long in any business, whether it's business, whether it's coaching, whether it's politics. You've got to have thick skin, but you've also got to be able to listen and communicate. Communication is one of the biggest things in any business, and especially politics, and especially football coaching, because if you don't communicate, then you'll start losing your support even more and more. Just let them know how you feel, give your opinion, be positive, and go on. And that's what I did when that situation happened at Auburn. And again, like I said, a lot of those guys are good friends of mine.
Anything else you want to convey about your kind of pitch, your pitch to the Republican electorate?
Well, you know, everybody looks at me in a different light. And I've got about, as you said, about 11 months to go all over the state of Alabama and do the things I'm doing, like talking to you, being on television, doing ads, speaking. There's not a county that I probably won't hit several times over the next 11 months. I just got to convince the people that, I think people look at me and say, you know, we like Coach, but can he help us? I want to go out and assure them that when they elect me senator, I'm going to go to Washington and vote how they want me to vote, not how other people want me to vote. Because mm-hmm. I want to carry what they want and need. Like I said, Alabama's going to be a huge, huge, make a huge difference in this country in the next 10, 15 years because of how everything's changed. And the whole South is. Again, we're having an influx of people moving this way. We got to be prepared for it. And we don't need to be overwhelmed, but we also need somebody in Washington that will help prepare that infrastructure, for instance, all the things that need to go with it. We need new businesses in state. That needs to be handled, but education. We've got to get better in education. We're not at 50 in education in the state of Alabama. We're awful close, and we've got to make some changes. And again, we've got a lot of people that's looking into that. We've got some good teachers in the secondary education. We've got some good in higher education. I think we need to change some things in my view of what I've seen over the years in terms of how we run our schools. I don't have all the answers, but you know, we can find somebody that does have all the answers, but we've got to make education a big priority in this state because the kids deserve it. And there's going to be a lot of jobs, and we've got to prepare them for the jobs that's coming because, you can just see things just kind of turning, changing in terms of everything in the South, in Florida, in Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana. We're going to have a lot of new people moving in the state, and we got to prepare for that.
There's only two announced candidates right now, but everybody thinks it's going to be a lot more. Could be a crowded field. How can you tell Republican voters that you're the best one to actually defeat Doug Jones? Because I think a lot of people would be naturally worried just going into this election, no matter who gets the nomination. What happened last time was, you know, Roy Moore gets nominated and, you know, this all this crazy stuff happens, Doug Jones gets the seat. So you could imagine voters being, you know, wanting to not choose the risky candidate. And we don't know if Moore's going to run, but what would you say, what's your pitch for saying, no, I'm the one that can actually defeat Doug Jones in the general election?
Well, we need a salesman from the state. We need somebody that people trust, again, somebody that people know. Again, like I said, when I go to the Washington, people are going to know me from the first day. They don't know, they'll know of me. They don't, you know, a lot of them probably haven't met me, but at least they'll know who I am. I'll be able to make a difference early, and I want to make a difference early. But again, it goes back to selling yourself. I mean, I'm not a career politician, but I've had a job for 40 years, and I've been out there, you know, got my hands dirty and had to deal with people that I really like. I really like dealing with people and working out problems. I'm not a lawyer, and I truly believe this. Our founding fathers wanted our Congress to be a mixture of farmers, lawyers, business people, military, law enforcement, educators, and that's what it's supposed to be about. And if we can get a better mix of that in Washington, D.C., we'll be much better. The Congress has got like a 20% approval rating. We need to really improve that, but we've got to help President Trump. And that's my whole idea. You know, like I said, if there was a conservative Republican in this seat, I wouldn't be running because we need to keep that continuity, but we don't have that. And I believe in moral and Christian values, and I believe in President Trump, and I want all that together to help the state of Alabama.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.